Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Monday, July 31st, and here are some of the stories we are covering. ECOWAS gives a one-week ultimatum for Niger's military leaders to return President Mohamed Bazoum to power.
ECOWAS recognizes President Bazoum as the legitimate and legal president of Niger. He must be freed and reinstated to his position within 1 week.
Central African Republic voters await the results of Sunday's constitutional referendum. We'll have a report on South Sudan and the World Day Against Trafficking in Persons. The European Union Election Observer Mission arrives in Zimbabwe. Senegal's opposition leader Ousmane Sonko is expected in court again today, Monday, on fresh charges. Former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo is to mediate talks between Kenya's president and the opposition leader.
The Kenyan people are now telling you and saying as much as you can engage with the former prime minister and those on his side, please engage with him publicly.
And our listener messages for English to Africa's 60th anniversary. Those stories plus Samson O'Malley Sports are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, has given Niger's coup leaders 1 week from Sunday, July 30th, to return President Mohamed Bazoum to power. In a communique issued at the end of an extraordinary summit held Sunday in Abuja, Nigeria, ECOWAS said it will take all measures necessary to restore constitutional order in Niger, including the use of force. Abdel Fattahou Moussa is the ECOWAS Commissioner for Political Affairs and Security. He tells me that ECOWAS is determined to end the Council of Coups in the sub-region.
The heads of state of the region, they sent a robust message to the coup plotters in Niger, and they have actually demonstrated their resolve to make sure that yet another coup will not be allowed to succeed. What do I mean? The ECOWAS recognizes President Bazoum as the legitimate and legal president of Niger. He must be freed and reinstated to his position within 1 week, failing which all options are on the table, including the military option. The heads of state have also requested the chiefs of defense staff to meet immediately in Abuja to start preparations. In addition, wide-ranging severe sanctions have been imposed on Niger, including the no-fly zone over the airspace of Nigeria, the closure of all borders, and targeted sanctions against all those involved in the coup, including a freeze of their assets, a ban on travel, and then all that. So all the tools that ECOWAS has in its sanctions arsenal have been imposed on Niger. ECOWAS are giving them the ultimatum, 1 week, and if they do not respond favorably, then ECOWAS will move to Plan B.
How is this reaction to the Niger coup different from other coups in the region?
Yes, listen, ECOWAS is under a new administration, both at the level of the commission itself. This commission was not in place when all those coups occurred. And the appointment of President Bola Tinubu of Nigeria as chair of the ECOWAS authority is also a new development. We know the struggle we've been having with the previous coups that occurred in the country. And the new administration is determined to put a stop to, you know, that cancer of coup d'etats in the region. And I think Niger is the first country since the new administration come to also be the next domino to fall to pushes in the region. And we are determined to make sure that it does not succeed.
Some people would say if any military action, wouldn't this be an intervention in the affairs of a member state?
No, all member states in ECOWAS have signed up to ECOWAS protocols. And the ECOWAS protocols declare zero tolerance for power obtained or maintained by unconstitutional means. You know, so by so doing, each member state has ceded part of its sovereignty for the regional good, the collective good. And so if Niger has fallen foul of it, the rest of the community has a responsibility to make sure that we right the wrong.
Abdel Fatawu Musa is the Commissioner for Political Affairs and Security of the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS. He was speaking with me from Abuja, Nigeria. Central African Republic voters are awaiting results from Sunday's constitutional referendum. The proposed new constitution, if passed, would eliminate the two-term limit and extend the presidential term from 5 to 7 years, which means President Faustin and Touadera or any president could stay in power longer. The opposition had called for a boycott of the vote. The Central African Republic diaspora voted at their country's embassy here in Washington, D.C. Masiao Mokuno is one of the coordinators. He tells me that the process went well and that some voters want a new constitution.
In Central African Republic, the referendum went very well. In diaspora, it went also well. Especially in Washington, D.C., people continue to come in to make their choice. Since, you know, we open at 7, we're supposed to close at 5 p.m.
So you say you're the president of the group that organized the voting process?
The voting process, that's correct, James.
Are you hearing from some of the people who have voted here? Do you think the referendum might pass or it might fail?
They say that the referendum must pass because they really want this constitution to be changed. So at that point, they have to make their choice. We are like a referee, so we're just watching, you know. Some people come in to express themselves, and we don't know until at the end what we're going to see as a result. But you can see front of their face, you know, the happiness.
Let me ask you, because the issue of changing constitution in the middle of a leader's term has been a very difficult point that has in some countries led to military coups, because people don't like the leader to change the constitution to give themselves more time in power. The people in Central African Republic, what do they think about that view?
To be honest with you, James, I cannot say what they think, you know. Since I'm here in Washington, D.C., as I say, I'm actually as a referee. So I'm the one who is the organizer. So I cannot say what they want. We have to know at the end if they want to make that change to happen, then the result is going to tell us.
Where did the voting take place? In Washington, D.C.?
The vote is taking place in our embassy in Washington, D.C. for United States.
And you helped to organize the vote along with the embassy?
The embassy has nothing to do, but we just use this place to make that election happen.
But, Marcel, are you not concerned that the fact that the voting is taking place inside the embassy, wouldn't that influence the decision of the people who are coming to vote?
I will say no, since it always happened here. The embassy is the one that represents our country. It's the legal place or legal location that we're supposed to do our election for diaspora. If you do to somebody place, then that's not legal. That's the reason why it has to be the place that represents Central Africa, which is the embassy.
Masiao Mokuno is one of the coordinators of Central African Republic diaspora who are working with voting citizens in the U.S. He was speaking with me from Washington, D.C. Former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo is expected to mediate talks between Kenyan President William Ruto and the opposition leader Raila Odinga. This after the three met Friday in Mombasa, Kenya, in response to the ongoing political instability in Kenya. The opposition has been holding demonstrations since March against the high cost of living. Maureen Ojiambo reports.
The government of Kenya and the opposition have agreed to talks following the chaotic anti-government protests that have been going on since March. In a statement on Saturday, the National Assembly minority leader Opiyo Wandayi said that the two disputing parties had agreed for former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo to mediate talks between the former Prime Minister Raila Odinga and President William Ruto. The move has since raised a lot of questions with the Ruto-led Kenya Kwanza coalition, claiming they will not allow the opposition to gain posts in the government since they lost in last year's elections. Kimani Ichung'wa is the Kenya's National Assembly majority leader.
You do not need a mediator to discuss matters that concern the Kenyan people. But the Kenyan people are now telling you, and I've seen them in many platforms around the country, saying as much as you can engage with the former prime minister and those on his side, please engage with him publicly, because we must bring to an end the business of people going into the streets for demonstrations.
Opposition leader Raila Odinga claims he is not interested in a position in Ruto's administration. He, however, says there must be a mediator to oversee the talks since he does not trust President Ruto. Peter Munya is the former cabinet secretary in the Ministry of Agriculture and a leader of the Party of National Unity. Speaking on Sunday during a meeting in Nairobi, he dismissed the allegations that the opposition wants government positions. He says it's evident there are disagreements between the opposition and government that need to be ironed out.
And the difference between our issues and theirs is the issues affecting the people, and especially the issue of the cost of living that is escalating every day is the bottom line. I think you understand the problem is a trust deficit that has been shown by the Kenya Kwanza government.
The talks comes amid calls by the Kenya Kwanza members who have been warning President Ruto against allowing talks with opposition leader Raila Odinga. Ruto has since been warning the opposition against holding protests that he says destabilize Kenya's economy.
We are already implementing the programs that will deal with the cost of living. I don't know why you cannot see what you are recommending. All these violence and demonstrations and everything you are doing will not in any way contribute in any manner towards solving the challenge of the cost of living.
It is not yet clear as to when the talks between Raila Odinga and President Ruto will take place. The opposition has, however, put the weekly demonstrations on hold to allow for talks. I am Maureen Ojiambo in Sacramento, California.
You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Monday, July 31st. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And still to come on our program, Samson O'Malley Sports. Yesterday, July 30th, was World Day Against Trafficking in Persons. The occasion is observed annually to raise awareness about the problem and to promote and protect the rights of trafficking victims. The U.S. Bureau of African Affairs has released its 2022 Trafficking in Persons report. The study says for the first time, South Sudan government reported investigating cases involving 28 victims, 13 men, 12 women, and 3 children, and the arrest of 4 possible traffickers. James Shimayula reports from Nairobi.
According to the report, the government has not prosecuted or convicted any suspected traffickers for the 10th consecutive year. The study says, however, that corruption and official complicity in trafficking crimes remain a significant concern, inhibiting law enforcement action during the year. It says government authorities cooperated with the 2 foreign governments to investigate 2 possible trafficking cases. John Mading Mabol is the head of South Sudan Human Trafficking and Migrant Smuggling Unit. He says South Sudan is increasingly becoming a destination of human trafficking, especially of young people who are often apprehended at border posts.
Of recent, we received someone who was on a desperate journey, and we were able to track the person actually cross up to Libya and able to convince him to return, and we reunite him with the family. Trafficking, or the traffickers themselves, are close relatives. Could be your cousin, could be your immediate brother. Because of financial gain, they will easily traffic you because they want to gain.
30-year-old Dominique Kwal explained why children fall prey to traffickers.
I think children fall victims of human trafficking because they don't have choice, and also they don't have platform. Therefore, they are vulnerable to people who are looking to abuse them.
Sabri Molanawani, a lawyer at South Sudan Ministry of Justice and Constitutional Affairs, explains why the South Sudan government is now carrying out public awareness on human trafficking.
The problem is most of the victims are not reporting because the mechanism the traffickers use against victims, for example, in some situation they intimidate the victim, they intimidate the family, sometimes confiscate the documents of the victim.
The campaign for World Day Against Trafficking in Persons 2023 aims to raise awareness of disturbing developments and the trends identified by the latest United Nations Office on Drug and Crime. Its goal is to combat drugs, organized crime, corruption, and terrorism to achieve health, security, and justice for all, and to promote sustainable peace and well-being. For VOA Africa, I am James Shimanyula in Nairobi.
As Zimbabwe prepares for elections on the 23rd of August, the European Union Observer Mission is among the first foreign monitors to announce their presence. Reporter Kuza Navashi has more from Harare.
The chief observer of the European Union Election Observer Mission to Zimbabwe, Fabio Massimo Castaldo, could not make it to the press briefing. His speech was delivered by his deputy, Dr. Beata Martin Rozomilowicz.
As you may know, the EU Election Observation Mission was formally invited by the government of Zimbabwe. We are here to deliver an independent and impartial assessment of the entire electoral process. And I just wanted to stress that the EU Election Observation Mission is here to observe, not to interfere in any way with these upcoming elections, and that these are the elections of the Zimbabwean people.
She explained their methodology used for observing the elections.
We do not use any hearsay or rumors in our assessments. We also do not correct any possible shortcomings while the process is ongoing, nor do we endorse the results or make any other statements about the quality of the elections until the respective stages are all completed.
The next press briefing by the mission will be 2 days after the conclusion of voting. Critics say their methodology aims to allay government fears of interference and manipulation of the elections by foreign entities. The EU Observer Mission has fielded observers in all 10 provinces of Zimbabwe. Overall, the mission is expected to have over 150 observers from all EU member states, as well as Norway, Canada, and Switzerland. Observer missions from the African Union and the Southern African Development Community are also expected. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zinawashe from Harare.
It is time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Monday morning to you, Samson.
Good Monday morning to you too, James. We begin the sports with the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup. Africa have 3 of their 4 Women's World Cup representatives still in the mix at the tournament in Australia and New Zealand, which on Sunday saw a historic first win for Morocco. The group phase has moved into its final round, and this week will see Morocco, Nigeria and South Africa all looking for positive results to propel them past the first round and into the group phase. Zambia, however, already eliminated after conceding 10 goals in their opening 2 games and completed their program against Costa Rica in Hamilton on Monday with only pride at stake. Nigeria are best set as they take on already eliminated Ireland on Monday, having produced the biggest upset of the tournament when they beat co-host Australia. Randy Waldrum says the game against Ireland will be a difficult one despite the team losing their first 2 games. For Bayana, they must win their last match against Italy to advance from Group G on Wednesday. Linda Mathlalo and Bayana forward and Thembe Katlana, vice-captain of the side, speaks of how crucial the game against Italy is for them.
Yes, it's not the results that we wanted, but we have one more game to play and we're going to do our best, and it's a must win. So, yeah, we're going to do our best.
I think it's more of, you know, working on the lack of concentration in the key moments. We are always concentrated, but I think on the key moments we switch it, and we mess it up, and then we end up having to concede. And it's not the blame on the defense, or it's the rest of the team.
Elsewhere, Morocco's chances depend solely on beating the impressive Colombia in Perth on Thursday, which will be a difficult task. But they will be full of confidence after beating South Korea 1-0 in Brisbane on Sunday for their first ever World Cup points. Still with football news, Bayern Munich announced on Saturday that Senegalese striker Sadio Mane was in talks about the change of club, with reports suggesting he was destined for Saudi side Al Nassr. The German champions left Mane out of a friendly match in Tokyo, posting on social media saying that, quote, Sadio Mane is in contract negotiations about a change of club and is therefore not in the lineup today. And that's it for this morning's edition of Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a good Monday. Starting today, July 31st until August 4th, every time you hear this music by Fela Kuti on this program, it means it is time for us to bring you information about VOA English to Africa's 60th anniversary, which is this Friday, August 4th. You, the listeners, have been sending us your appreciation and suggestions about our programs. So, let's begin this morning by hearing from some of you.
Good day, VOA. This is Malik Sisi in Accra. Oh, I'm very, very happy to see VOA celebrating their 60th anniversary, particularly Daybreak Africa. I like Daybreak Africa. I like African TV. Then I like Nightline Africa. Oh, I'm very, very happy to hear this one. Then one of my greatest news is when Kelvin Lewis reports when the rebel enter Freetown, Sierra Leone. Yeah, that was on January 6th. It was the greatest news. I was able to escape, come to Ghana, Accra. Yeah, we are into logistics business now. Although because our democracy is not working now, government and electoral commissioner, they team up to fake results. All this one is affecting democracy in Africa. So I'm happy to celebrate with VOA.
Please keep sending us your voice and text messages about our 60th anniversary to this WhatsApp number, +1 202 258 3076. Once again, +1 202 258 3076. And that is it for this Monday, July 31st edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for beginning your week with us. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I am James Barty in Washington, wishing you will have a great week.